Show, god darn it, we are alive, we are ready to go. And Hutch, I found out what was wrong.
All right,
it was not the mixer,
it was the hub. Okay,
it was the hub.
The weak link. Hey, Richard, so, I hope you get better. Richard, sounds rough.
What's wrong? Well,
he's in the chat room. He's hurt.
He's in the chat.
Oh, Richard.
Hemorrhoid stuck in. Beep.
I was kind of surprised at that comment.
Welcome to the show, my friend Wayne Dupree, Godfather Conservative Radio, Mr. Hutch Bailey Jr.
Glad to be here.
And Mr. J.R. Robinson, the imam of Minnesota. Not only does he have a haircut, he got it all cut.
I trimmed up the beard a little bit. It's summer in Minnesota. I'm outside on my deck with the dog.
It's nice out there, ain't it? It's nice.
Oh my! If this is global warming, I'm in.
You know what? I've actually said stuff like that before. While my daughter was around, because me and my daughter get into arguments because, you know, they're trying to teach her that college way of what you call it and stuff. But
it always goes wrong when men try to be God.
Right.
Ain't that crazy?
Yes, it is.
And what they don't understand is the job is already taken. And exactly. He doesn't need a second or third or fourth. He did. I used to say a long time ago, where the music industry kept doing these remixes of the songs and stuff, I was like, Jesus don't need a second player or a second in command, and he don't need no remix.
And they never learn. They never learn. You look at what happened out in California. I live in Pittsburgh, so it's an industrial base, and we had steel mills and other things up and down the rivers. And they poured stuff into those rivers, and there's heavy metals in that. And it settles to the bottom of the river, and 20 years later, they have a Bassmasters tournament, and it's fine. But out in California, they decided they put all these dams up so they could provide electric for the people in California and Oregon. And they decided that these dams are hurting the salmon. So they go out and knock all the dams down, forgetting about that stuff that's on the riverbed. And all that stuff comes up and kills all everything. Mm-hmm. Everything in the river, on the river, next to the river, every salmon, bug. Stop trying to be God.
It's funny. That concept applies to so many things. Like, if you think even about all the bioengineering stuff they're doing, like, that's just bad. You know, we were talking about the Vaxil yesterday and how it does mRNA manipulation. That's all bad. Like, leave that to God. Look at the
whole tranny situation. That's disgusting, and it's the same thing.
Yeah, you think you can surgically change your gender,
or make a baby, or make man have a baby. You know, and then you know you were just talking about the bass and them putting stuff at the bottom of the. Putting stuff at the bottom of the river. I came across this, and I was going to play it to start off the show, but What's happening in New Jersey?
Newsroom today, an investigation underway into a possibly tainted fuel at a Camden gas station.
Some drivers say the bad fuel caused their cars to break down, and it's not the first time something exactly like this has happened at this exact same gas station. Action News New Jersey correspondent Trish Hartman is live at the Conoco station with more on what may have caused the issue. Trish.
Well, Sarah, this gas station is now closed until further notice. The city of Camden is investigating along with the state DEP to find out what exactly went wrong here. Samples were taken yesterday and they're waiting for those tests to come back. And we met many drivers today who are upset and they want to be reimbursed after they say the gas here caused their cars to break down.
I just wanted to top off the tank. So we pulled over, got gas.
Miguel Vicioso was one of the customers who was left stranded after pumping gas at this Conoco gas station in Camden yesterday.
As soon as I paid the easy pass, the car shut off right there in the toll plaza.
According to city officials, at least 14 drivers were affected after they got gas at the Conoco on Admiral Wilson Boulevard. Today, doors to the store on the property were locked and zip ties were put on the pumps.
I won't get no gas no more. That's out.
This is the second time something like this has happened at this gas station this year. In January, water seeped into the gas tanks after a winter storm. According to officials, the fuel was found to contain 58% water, and a $25,000 fine was issued along with several violations. At least 39 vehicles were impacted that time.
That's not seeping.
I want to see the owner of the gas station. Bubbity 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 bubbity.
Yeah, right. He's Indian.
You know
it. I saw the video of all the people last night, and they were livid. They were angry, and the Indian owner was behind the police because the police was in the middle of the door. He wouldn't let nobody get in to the door. So I had to go on YouTube to find the story so that I could give this type of update. But a lot of them were like, man, there's water in the gas tank, man. There's water in there. I was like, wow.
You know, that's part of running a gas station is checking for that every day.
Right. Yeah, you got your little tester thing.
Yeah.
Right.
58%, that ain't going to work, though.
58. Yeah, can you imagine?
They said it seeped in there. No. Yeah. Somebody took a bucket and put some water in there. I mean,
I'm gonna make an observation because we have a ever-growing Indian and Himalayan population here. And I'm just gonna tell you straight up, they take over some different industries like beer distributors,
right,
and other convenience stores. And almost immediately there's boarded up windows and the signs broke, you know, it don't work. The car wash don't work. They don't put any money back in their business. It doesn't seem like around here. And that sounds like that. That sounds like negligence. They got a hole in the tank.
Yeah, if you've got 58% water in your tank, there are some pretty severe problems that you should have known about.
and I would worry also of leakage
right
around the tank.
Well, yeah, because the water's got to come in somewhere, and that means something's going out somewhere.
You know, I want to talk about the TikTok thing in just a few minutes. What's going on up on the Capitol Hill behind the bar is I got to talk to y'all behind the scenes on that one because, yeah. Yeah, I think we lost one of our people.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, we haven't seen her in months.
Just joking around.
I know. But you know, but well,
get me started.
Well, hey, Jason, it'd be like, nah. No, I ain't good. No, I ain't
good. I'm just admiring Wayne's restraint.
Oh my God! So I know I'm serious. I'm holding it back because it's right here. It's right on the tip of my tongue. And usually people say, "If it's in your heart, it's going to come out." It's here. Okay, I'm letting you know it's right here, and it wants to come out, but it's not coming out.
No hard feelings.
Yeah, look, all's fair in love and war. I was watching this and usually I stop watching it, but I was like, Oh, I've lost 17 pounds, by the way.
Oh, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm down 17 pounds. So I'm trying to, I'm trying to do it.
You can maintain it. It's not something like.
Right.
Something you can do and keep doing.
Yeah.
That's good for your blood pressure and all kinds of things.
It's not. And I'm going up the steps a whole lot more quickly, too.
I'll tell you, man, you know me before I got sick.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I'll tell you, I lost 50 pounds because of my condition. Not voluntarily. It just happens, right? And man, it's amazing all the stuff that works now.
Yeah.
That weight, man, I'll tell you, I used to have trouble washing the back of my legs in the shower and stuff. I'd cramp up, and it's just amazing how your body can repair itself. There's always hope, folks.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. So Ben-Hur is on Capitol Hill right now, and I listened to him very intently. Thank you, Jason. I think I listened to him very intently. And, you know, there's a song and dance going on with the Republicans and the Democrats right now. The Republicans are trying to prosecute Biden, and the Democrats are trying to prosecute Trump at the same time. They're trying to do this thing. And her's like, listen, I just did my job. I just did this. You know, if it's in there, it's in there. One of the things that I came across, well, actually, let me play Jim Jordan, because honestly, if I didn't listen to her speak, I would have said that Joe Biden should be brought up on charges. And believe me, I'm not far away from saying that he shouldn't be brought up on charges. But listening to her respond to this, it's like let me play Jordan.
This is a quote. Joe Biden risked serious damage to America's national security when he shared information with his ghostwriter. Shared it with his ghostwriter, the guy who was helping Joe Biden get $8 million. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, Mr. Hur, what did that ghostwriter do with the information Joe Biden shared with him on his laptop? What did he do after you were named special counsel?
Chairman, if you're referring to the audio recordings that Mr. Zwanitzer created of his conversations with
exactly
Mr. Biden,
what I'm referring to.
he slid, if I remember correctly, he slid those files into his recycle bin on his computer.
Tried to destroy the evidence, didn't he?
That's like the seeping of the water in the gas tank. Look, there's no sliding anywhere. He tried to delete the stuff, get rid of it.
He just failed.
Yeah, he failed. But and then listening to their back and forth, I found out that Biden got paid $8 million for this book, the prepaid thing, whatever it's called, advance. And according to and I can see I totally can see how Jordan would say that was motivation for doing what he did. OK. Let me finish her.
The very guy who was helping Joe Biden get the $8 million, $8 million Joe Biden used, the motive for Joe Biden to disclose classified information, to retain classified information, which he definitely knew was against the law. When you get.
Okay. It paused right there. I sat there after listening to Jim Jordan talk to her. Her basically said, later in his testimony with Matt Gaetz, Gaetz said that Biden was caught dead to rights. So he measured up to everything to be found guilty. And her came back and said, no, not everything. There's one thing that prevented me from bringing charges was intent. There was no way I could have proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that he intentionally did this. Okay. That's what her said. But listening to Jordan, the ghostwriter should be brought up on charges in getting rid of evidence or trying to get rid of evidence, which brings me to this point. It always seems that Biden, Clinton, Obama, Menendez, who this time might get in charge, we don't know, but the person who he was in business with just got jail, but Menendez is still out. It always seems like the top tier people, and we said it before, get off, but the people that are responsible for the stuff or the people that work with them, those are the ones that get in trouble. That's where I'm going with this, because the ghostwriter paid him $8 million, looked at the didn't have classified, clearance and whatnot, looked at that, had it on his computer, which wasn't classified it wasn't a SCIF, as Hutch wouldn't know what that is. You might even know what that is, Jason. Oh, yeah. A SCIF. But he tried to get rid of it. And it's like, the Republicans are set up there, Biden, Biden, Biden. Yeah, but you don't have him. You don't have him. That's what we tried to say last year. You don't have him. You don't have that key, that the final nail, coffin, political coffin nail. You don't have that yet. You have everybody else, and you're letting everybody else go. You know, that ghostwriter should be in jail for that. I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But they found him trying to get rid of the stuff in the delete box.
That's what I'd have done, too. Biden comes up to me and gives me some classified stuff. I'm like, whoa.
Well, let me contextualize this, because I read the Hur report and I watched the hearing this morning up until the show started. So Joe Biden knew the rules. Joe Biden took documents home in 2017 and he covered them with the ghostwriter. And he said, hey, here's the classified stuff, numerous times to the guy. And so in 2017, he knew he had classified documents. They are framing it up like Joe Biden cooperated with us. Well, no,
yeah, I heard that.
2022, when they said, hey, do you have any classified stuff? He said, oh, yeah, here it is. But he knowingly had the documents in 2017, and they were in like 9 different locations. There's a great clip where the guy's like, were they in the Biden Penn Center? Were they in his garage? Were they in his bathroom? Were they here? Were they there? Were they? And he's like, yep. So this clown had classified documents everywhere. They're saying he cooperated, even though he admits he knew he had classified documents in 2017. Cooperation would have been in 2017.
And he wasn't authorized to have them anyway in 2017.
Right. But I mean, if you want to make the cooperation argument, then you need to say, hey, I found this stuff. It's classified. You know, let me turn myself in. Not, oh, okay, well, they came after me for it, so here I gave it to them. It's remarkable.
Here's the thing, though. Even though that's the Democrats' argument, it's her that corroborated and said, yes, he did. Yes,
right.
You know, and he also said he was independent. He said that nobody forced him to come up with his, and plus he just resigned. He just resigned from the DOJ right before the
testify as a private citizen.
This is her, right?
My team and I conducted a thorough, independent investigation. We identified evidence that the president willfully retained classified materials after the end of his vice presidency when he was a private citizen. This evidence included an audio recorded conversation during which Mr. Biden told his ghostwriter that he had, quote, just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote. When Mr. Biden said this, he was a private citizen speaking to his ghostwriter in his private rental home in Virginia. We also identified other recorded conversations during which Mr. Biden read classified information aloud to his ghostwriter.
And this conversation he's talking about is in 2017, to put it in context.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the end of that clip right there. But I'm watching both sides tried to play their prosecution roles, and then really not prosecutors.
I'll take it back to your opening statements on this subject. Everybody's sitting here looking at this going, nobody's ever going to go to jail.
Right. Yeah.
The whole country's saying that.
Yeah.
See, this one, too, we've covered all the Trump cases. To me, this one's astounding. They've never prosecuted any government official for taking classified documents. And they're trying to, they're getting really greedy with this one because arguably what Joe Biden did is far worse than Trump. He had it. He admits that he had it in 2017. He understands the rules. Trump feels it was his documents and he didn't have to turn them over. And that's Trump's argument. So it's a proper argument.
He's the guy that decides if it's classified or not.
Right. So if you want to say, well, Trump didn't cooperate, well, he didn't think he had to because they were his things. That will be Trump's argument. But we never prosecute anybody for this, but they're trying to prosecute Trump and not Biden. And it's such a greedy move for the Department of Justice because I don't know how you do that.
And when you look at somebody our age, right? Like, for instance, myself, they haven't prosecuted Clinton, Clinton. They haven't prosecuted anybody. Obama, right. Holder, none of these people for my entire political life.
Mine, you know,
and I think what it is, I think that it seems to me that the Congress is always 5 years behind the power curve. Yeah. Like, I don't think they realize that we all know this whole game is a sham.
Yeah.
We're tuning you out, man. You people don't matter.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, and the only thing left is what's going to be the final chapter. That's the only question is what's going to happen. You know, you keep on, you take the American people that just want to be left alone, just want to raise their families and their children, and you poke them and you poke them and you poke them and you take away every means for us to change things. You can't even go to Washington, D.C. and protest anymore. You can't vote anymore. You're taking everything away. You can't talk anymore. I'll tell you something. You people that are doing this, you're messing with a bear with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that you keep doing, if you make the fatal mistake of leaving us the only option, leaving the American people the only option is the Second Amendment, it will not end well for you.
Right.
I promise you.
You know, I've said over and over again that you back a wounded dog, animal into a corner. The only way, the only place for them to come out to strike and survival is right back at you.
That's all. Because
he can't go left and he can't go right. So he's coming right back at you. And like you just said, you keep on pounding. You keep on taking away freedoms bit by bit, piece by piece. You're not doing it total because basically what you're doing, it's like what happened during Obama's time in office. There was a scandal every freaking week. And what happens is there's so many scandals that people get used to it. And then people, whatever. That's what's happening with many of our freedoms. Can't talk, can't walk, can't march, can't protest, can't say what you want to on social media platforms. Can't do videos, can't say this on videos. And then the next thing you know, the only thing that you're putting up on social media or on your timeline is cat videos and dog videos. And then you really can't do that because if you got a dog that is humping somebody's leg, you get a sex thing for that one. You know what I'm saying?
And what do they do to put the people to sleep? They push drugs. They legalize weed. John Boehner goes out and now he's a weed freaking.
That was a shot.
You know, that's what
that
they
was
do.
A shot.
The they want everybody to be high.
Before I venture off, though, I want to answer Terry Bauman's question because this is exactly where people are at. Terry Bauman, longtime listener to the show. Thanks, Terry, for that. Obviously, not enough, or he would turn it over to the courts. Here's where people are critically starting to understand. If you read the documents, if you watch the hearings, you will come to the conclusion that these two cases are one of those deals where you either charge both or you charge neither. And they're trying to charge one and not the other. And then the question isn't, obviously, he doesn't have enough or he would charge him. The question is, why aren't they charging both? And that's where people in the MAGA movement are like, yeah, why are January 6 guys locked up and no Antifa rioters are locked up? Why are, you know, why is George Santos kicked out of the House? Bob Menendez is still serving in the Senate, you know?
Yeah, but then when you get to that point, then that immunity thing comes out with the same argument. It's like, okay, well, if Trump gets immunity, then Biden gets immunity. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's...
Oh, Donald Trump legally has a significantly better case, in my opinion, because all he has to do is say, I declassified the stuff, like, and they got nothing.
That's like, well, you're talking about what they're talking about today.
You're right.
I'm talking about the immunity, the presidential immunity thing. Because
That's paramount, man. You have to have that.
Right.
Biden, you have too. Biden too.
Exactly. But if you strip it away from him, you can, that means that you strip it away from everybody else. You just can't strip it away from Trump.
And you can't strip it away from any of them, because as soon as you strip it away, the deep state is now the president.
Right.
Right. Well, exactly.
It already is.
Yeah. True. Yeah. Except for somebody like Trump.
Right.
He's the only one that has ever stood up to them.
Yep.
Which is why they're bringing the hammer.
But I mean, that's why exactly in all these legal cases, when you say Trump is the only property developer New York goes after, Trump is the, you know, they're going after Trump for paying off a porn star when there's a congressional fund to pay off sexual harassment claims and nobody gets prosecuted for it. I mean, it's, if you're not seeing the two-tiered system of justice after all this, I don't know what to tell you. I and this documents case, these two are almost identical. And I don't know how you can make the rationale to charge one and not the other. I'm kind of surprised Democrats didn't throw Biden under the bus and just say, we're going to charge you, Joe. Because then
they still might.
Right. They might.
I got to say, it's a three-tier justice system, because there's always been a two-tier. So,
right.
You know, I mean, this is the first time that, well, yeah, this, well, yeah, this first, maybe it's a four-tier, because you still get some people out of Congress in Trump, some, not the top tier. But when it comes to President Trump, that's like a new tier. I mean, that's like, you know,
the first.
Yeah. Right. That's a whole different,
I see people comparing, saying Trump's almost as good as Reagan. Trump's 10 times better than Reagan.
Oh.
Really? 10 times better. Oh, yeah. Reagan was good, but Reagan was not Trump. Reagan was playing the game with the rules of the game.
Right.
He let in more freaking immigrants into this country than anybody else.
Yeah. But, you know, he was lied to, though. I mean, but then again, Trump was lied to, too, about that border. You know, I mean, well, Wayne, what are you talking about, Trump?
McConnell? He put tariffs on China, man. Nobody ever did that before.
Yeah. McConnell and... Who was the Speaker of the House back then that didn't like Trump? They went to Fox News. They got up there and did a press conference and said they had $25 billion that they were going to give Trump for the wall. I remember it. They had a black curtain. They were up there. They were talking and they were like, we're going to do the wall thing. Yeah. Yeah. $25 billion. Okay. All right. That's what they said. And he didn't do it. He didn't do it. You know, we have a phone. We have two voicemails that one of them's from Vancouver.
My gosh, Carl.
I don't know if this is because they don't come with the names, but I did see the VAN for, so Carl is going to be one of them. So remember, you can call on the number 1-800-895-5725. 1-800-895-5725. You can call during the show. leave a message. Ask us a question. Ask us a question. You don't have to leave your name and number. I mean, well, all right, I will have your number though. But you don't have to. I mean, I'm not going to give your number out to anybody. I'm not, you know, that's not who I am. But here's number one.
Respectfully speaking, I was watching your show this morning on YouTube, and it got pulled. Hutch was talking about the vaccine and spreading some really horrible misinformation about cancer and things like that. As he was saying that, all of a sudden, boom, your show was taken right off. So maybe just giving you guys a heads up. Why, I don't know, but you certainly don't like me. But anyways, I just want to let you know that, you know, I guess if you're spreading misinformation about the vaccine, you're going to get pulled. And it looks like you guys got pulled. So it was fun watching you guys. Take care. $1,000, Jason. $1,000 to my charity.
Well, Carl, let me work with you on this one.
Go ahead.
I know that you live in Cuba, Vancouver, Cuba, and I know you have rules up there that you're not allowed. You can go to jail for life for things that you say that are on the horizon for Canada. That's the way you guys like to live, not us. Right. You need to ask yourself, why did they pull us off the air for that? Ask yourself that. You know, you think it's because of misinformation? Really, Carl? Is that what you... I didn't even know, did I? I didn't even you were still on YouTube.
It wasn't you. It was Jason. And I did it. I pulled it off because we were talking about Trump. And he and Jason wrote, you know, as far as what you said, I just removed it from YouTube because
YouTube gets cranky.
When you started getting into the vaccine itself and stuff, I was like, oh, there we go. So, Carl, I was the one who did it so that YouTube wouldn't do it. Yeah, that was yesterday. That was yesterday. I mean, it should be back up there right now. I just don't promote YouTube because they're thieves.
Here's what's remarkable, too. We could go on the CDC's website. We could pull up the official documentation that the CDC put out about it, and I could read it on air, and they would take it down. Mm. I mean, think about that. Government document, government site, government source. And it's funny.
Yeah.
I tweeted yesterday about this. So Occupy Democrats, one of the biggest Facebook pages going, 10 million followers. They promote huge propaganda. They lie. They had a title of an article that insinuated Donald Trump was a convicted rapist. The article they shared flat out said Donald Trump was a convicted rapist. And if you follow the Jeanne Carroll case, that is a flat out lie. They even asked the jury that, and the jury said no. They said he committed sexual assault or whatnot. The judge, after the fact, give some speech about, well, technically it could kind of be considered rape. No. The judge shouldn't say that. Like, you put it to a jury, the jury said no. But Occupy Democrats is not going to get fact checked. They're not going to get nuked. They went to bed last night with no concern if their Facebook page will be there in the morning. Meanwhile, on like one of our Facebook pages, we had written an article about the trucker saying they were going to boycott New York. We got fact checked and our page got suppressed because they said, and all we said is, here's the video. Here's what the trucker said. That was it. And they're like, people are lying about truckers boycotting New York. And so they fact checked us. And it's like, dude, here's the video of a pretty prominent social media truck driver. But I mean, that's the kind of censorship that you run into. And it's just, it's remarkable.
Here's another one too. There's a video going around. It looks like a bar, and I don't know who owns it, but there's a big gigantic screen on the back. So if something happens, if somebody like Mitch McConnell was like, "I'm going to retire," or "I'm going to resign," and everybody in the bar is yeah, like that. It's just a meme video type of thing. I put it on my Facebook page. They fact checked it.
Right.
They fact checked it and gave me a ding on it. I'm like, Are you serious? I mean, it's a joke. I mean,
election coming up.
Exactly. Totally.
Let me tell you the two worst we've had. So we clipped the Joe Biden Lacken Henry part of the State of the Union. We played it unedited. Just we added graphics on it and whatever. They fact checked it and the page got suppressed. And then we have another big Facebook page that's President Trump is my wingman, which is just and it's labeled the President Trump fan page. We share memes about President Trump and things like that. It has been unpublished since Thanksgiving because they said we were impersonating President Trump. And I'm like, it clearly says fan page. It clearly says President Trump is my wingman, meaning we love President Trump. They republished it and then they unpublished it again.
Speaking about the election coming up, Facebook has decided to get rid of their news tab.
Right.
Which, right, in Australia and the United States of America, they aren't paying people anymore as they were paying before. Okay. So I was like, okay, I see what's going on. The election is right around the corner. They're trying to suppress the same thing. Which brings me to TikTok. I know what we've been told. I know how we feel. I know we had Ayla on yesterday and she talked about it. She was like, that's a justified knee jerk reaction, but think about it. You take them down, you still got other stuff that the CCP pays or gives money to that's going to be collecting your data. I have yet to see Congress and with the way the Congress is speeding this thing through, you wonder who's up there that's getting paid by Facebook and Twitter or X. And I know a whole lot of people say Elon changed things and stuff, but not one of them to this day has been able to come out and say there's no CCP connection. We don't have no money coming in from China on these platforms. Not one.
Where do you think Elon made his money?
Right. No. I mean, I agree, but for them, they're quiet right now about TikTok. You don't see Zuckerberg. You don't see Elon. They really aren't really saying people in Twitter. You really are X. God darn, they got so many names. You really don't see them saying anything about the TikTok ban. They're keeping their head like this. Is it going to happen? Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank said, if they do it, I'll buy it. I'm making an American company.
He's not the only one either.
Yeah. Rumble came out and said basically the same thing. The way I was looking at this yesterday, because Biden said, if you put it on my desk, I'll sign it. This is almost like a Civil Rights Act or Voting Rights Act in 1964, 1965. Why is that? Because Republicans are pushing this thing. And you got a Democrat president that's going to sign it. Republicans are, I mean, you got Cornyn, you got Rubio. They're all happy about this thing going down. I'm like, it's an election year, y'all. You really want that on your docket? That all these kids going to look to Republicans as pushing to get rid of their social media platform? They don't want to be on Facebook. They don't want to be on Twitter. That's their thing. Now, again, I'll go back to what I said. We all know it's bad. What China's doing is bad. We know that. But these kids are going to look at these politicians like, man, you just took something away from, you just took our candy away.
See, I look at it from the political side a little bit. You look at the end result. I like the idea of an American buying TikTok, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you look at the result of shutting TikTok down, you're basically giving Facebook a monopoly.
Yeah.
You're giving the enemy that you already knows the enemy a monopoly. Why would you do that? When, it, like you said, I don't follow it that much, but Wayne, you said conservatives are starting to take off on TikTok.
I look, my posts are on TikTok, and all I'm doing is the memes of the stories that I'm sharing on my website. Dude, I'm getting like 25,000 views on just the memes. You know, I'm like, damn, this is weird.
The intelligence community sees that.
Probably, yeah.
I was going to say this TikTok one is really a difficult one that there's no good answer for. And just to clarify, and this is my opinion, it might not be everybody's, the data harvesting from TikTok is the least of the threat TikTok proposes. Everybody's got your data, folks. Google's got right. it. Facebook's exactly. got it. Your data's everywhere.
Your car's talking to your insurance company, telling you how you drive, telling them how yeah. you drive.
Yeah. So, yeah, right, so yeah. take out the whole data argument. And I would even say any
TV is telling congressman what you
who says, oh, the data theft is such a big deal, they're an idiot. Right. The bigger problem is the Communist Party of China, the CCP, they send educational content to their kids, and they send tranny and divisive and hateful America content to our kids. Mm-hmm. They geotag you. They know you're a 14-year-old kid in Indiana. Congratulations. You get videos fed to you about how much Trump sucks and how whites are racist and all this stuff. That's the problem. It's an algorithm problem. And I wish it were so simple that we could just say, don't let the CCP do that. But there's no way we can give government the power to stop it without having really bad unintended consequences. I mean, it's like Patriot Act level stuff. At the time when the Patriot Act was coming out, I'm like, no, we can't do this. Everybody's like, what, you want terrorists to win? And I'm like, I do not trust the government with this power. And now, however many years later, we've proven that the government can't be trusted with that power, and they just keep re-upping it. Mm-hmm. If they try to ban TikTok, I don't know. There will be unintended consequences that would be horrifying. And they're already.
I believe that. I believe
that. Rumble, they'll ban everything.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll be impressed because if I keep my Twitter account through the election, I'll be impressed.
Right. Well, yeah. And what they're going to do is say misinformation is harmful. Or they're going to say climate change, they'll declare it an emergency, and anybody who speaks out against climate change will be labeled as a spreader of disinformation, and then boom, you know, all of a sudden you'll wake up and your page is gone.
And you look at Carl's call, right? Carl has already accepted the fact that it's okay for government to take stuff down. I mean, he's already lulled into it. I don't know if you guys have been watching Canada lately.
But oh my
God. Canada is a freaking train wreck because of people like Carl.
Yeah, they're actually working on legislation to make hate speech a yeah. crime punishable by life in prison.
And what's the other thing that they want to lock people? And this might be in the United States. They want to lock people up because they think they're going to commit a crime in the future.
Yes. They identify your behaviors.
Minority Report.
Think that you might be a threat because of speaking out against whatever. So if you're posting like, I don't like transgenders, they're going to label you a security threat, and then they can lock you up.
Yeah, that sounds like the Minority Report, where they try to get you before you commit something.
Yeah, and what happened to Canada? It used to be such a nice, quiet place. They had hockey and maple syrup, and
everybody. You know. Well, everybody found out that Castro was his daddy, and things changed.
Right.
You know. Well, you got Frank Marshall Davis Jr. is Barack's daddy, and Castro is the father of the guy up there in Canada. Yeah, Trudeau. So
Trudeau.
Yeah. Wow. You know, that's another thing about. The CCP that I was listening to Ayla yesterday, and it came in my head, and I didn't get a chance to. And actually, I think y'all have talked about this too last year. That weapon, that COVID thing was a a bioweapon released on the American people.
I said that on the first day it came out.
Right. And our government.
Because look at what happened right before COVID came out. What happened? You remember? Trump freaking ruined the Chinese economy with his tariffs.
With his tariffs, right. Yeah.
And boom, next thing you know.
It was getting bad too, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, it was getting bad. Just to speak about tariffs, The Economist came out over the weekend, said that Russia's economy is booming.
Indeed.
We said back here last February. Oh, wait. Was it February 2022? Wait. It was last year when the war started, right? So it was 23. Was it last year?
We're at the end of 22. Yeah, it's been about what?
Yeah,
about
end of 14 20, months? I think it was 22.
14 months it's been going on, I think.
Okay. We said month one that, 2022. Okay. So in February, March, it because it started on 24 February. Man, we've been together for a while, haven't we?
Yeah.
We said that those things ain't going to do it under now. We said that. And for those that watch the show, y'all should remember, it's not going to turn out like what y'all think. Putin is laughing.
And we said that before we got people on the show, guests that were in that profession. We did that later on. But right off the bat, we gave you our analysis.
Sure did.
And our analysis was spot on from day one.
Exactly. Exactly.
Russia don't lose no wars.
They never have.
No. Well,
I don't think anybody's ever beat them.
Who do you?
France tried a couple times. Germany tried a couple times.
Germany was stupid, though. That's what I was getting ready to say. That's what I was getting ready to throw to you about that. Who do you think beat Germany? Was it Russia or was it the United States?
It was Russia.
It was Russia, wasn't it?
I mean, we helped. Don't get me wrong.
Right. Right.
Helped, but if you look at the casualties, man, you can see who won.
Yeah.
Russia took millions got killed in Russia.
Right.
Millions. We ought to thank them.
You know what they said about Hitler's body? Is that the Russians got it.
They're the ones that were in Berlin first.
They said that the Russians got his body and took it out of Germany and buried it somewhere in Russia. Yeah, sure did. I remember reading that a while back, and I was like, "Yeah, I probably could see that." I mean, but then you get to that point where you listen to our leaders, and our leaders tell us who's bad and who's good. For a long time, they kept saying that. Who's the one that they? Stuck knives in his butt.
Gaddafi.
Gaddafi was bad. Kept saying he was bad. Yep. For a while there, I was like, yeah, man, he's bad.
I totally bought into all of it.
Right.
And now you look at it now and you see the actions of Liz Cheney. Yeah. And you see these people and you go, wait a minute, man. Yeah. They've been doing this all the way back since then.
Yeah.
They've been having these forever wars. Since World War II.
Yep.
The current situation in Haiti is one I'm rather enjoying because I mean, not enjoying is the wrong word, but I find very interesting because the Clintons were all up in Haiti.
Yep.
And go down whatever conspiracy theory you want. There's a lot of weird stuff going on in Haiti. A lot of Sound of Freedom stuff going on in Haiti, which ironically they didn't cover in the movie, but there was a lot of trafficking and that kind of stuff, the Clinton Foundation, all sorts of crazy stuff. And then Donald Trump called it an asshole country. And then everybody on the left comes out and goes, how can you say that? It's great. And they all started wearing pro Haiti shirts and a bunch of people went down there and filmed little TikTok videos. Look, Haiti's great.
Yeah, and at the resort, not in the Port-au-Prince.
Right, yeah. And Haiti, for those who actually follow people that report on the conditions in Haiti, Haiti is awful. It is that country, not the people of Haiti. People of Haiti are great. The government of Haiti is beyond awful. And now it's collapsed. The guy in charge resigned, and it's currently being run by a cannibal whose nickname is Barbecue. So that's where Haiti's at. And it's awful what's happening down there. But I don't know how that's not front page news. This
because it's the first failure of DEI.
Right.
Is why. If you look at what happened there, if you look at the landmass that Haiti's on, you got Haiti on one side and you got the Dominican Republic on the other side. Same exact natural resources in both countries. Look at what's going on in the Dominican Republic versus Haiti. The Dominican Republic's fine.
Right.
It's where the Pittsburgh Pirates get a lot of their players. We've got a camp there.
Right.
You know, and you look at Haiti and it's the government. It's just like Mexico. It's the same thing. Mexico has some of the most outstanding natural resources on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And they live like freaking whatever because of their government.
What's interesting, too, I learned about Haiti. And he behaved.
I don't know if you saw that, but
I seen you. I'm on my best behavior.
Yeah, we don't want to have you hit the cancel YouTube button.
But no, you no, no, Haiti, no. You were freezing up. You were freezing up.
So in Haiti, they evidently there's some rare earth minerals too that they're sitting.
Yeah, on. Clinton's brother is in charge of that. Right. Well, part, yeah.
And ironically, it wasn't worth that much till this whole EV thing started.
Oh, snap. I didn't even think about that. I did not even think about that.
I'm not saying they're connected. I'm sure it's a coincidence. Kind of like the Boeing guy.
Oh, man. How about that? I mean, they're under, don't you wish you could trust law enforcement?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're under investigation, criminal investigation at Boeing. They just had another problem. I'm trying to see it here. I got it.
I would not fly on a 737.
Another Boeing failure. United Airlines 777 takes off with massive fuel leak.
Oh,
not cool.
Well, speaking about plane rides, there was an Indonesian flight with 187 people on it. And the pilot and the co-pilot went to sleep.
Yep. I saw that. They had a 787 that all of a sudden in the middle of a flight between New Zealand and Australia just did a nosedive. And everybody went up and hit the ceiling.
Yep.
Blood all over the ceiling and everything.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Because, you know, after you get out of your takeoff, and you level off, everybody takes their seatbelts off.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's crazy how many issues the airline industry is. And 737s, there was undercover video footage of people at Boeing saying, yeah, I wouldn't fly on one of those. And then the whistleblower who Boeing goes after, he was an engineer or something there, and he just gave testimony like, these are really bad. The next day he commits suicide sitting in his car. And it's like, I can't wait till he shot himself in the back of the head twice. Like, that's usually how they commit suicide.
We got another phone call that I want to play. Let's see. I play Carl.
Oh, by the way,
hi,
Carl, Eaglebrook
Church and J Rod. This is Darlene, and I'm calling from Berks County, PA. And so I seen an episode on March 11th. And y'all were talking about the RNC and what they should do. And y'all were saying, oh, the.
Uh-oh. Sorry.
Hi, Wayne Dupree, Hutch, and J-Rod. This is Darlene, and I'm calling from Berks County, PA. And so I seen an episode on March 11th. And y'all were talking about the RNC and what they should do. And y'all were saying, oh, the.
Okay, that wasn't me. Yeah, that wasn't me. Okay.
Work with. I don't know what you meant.
Yeah, Darlene, you're gonna have to call back in because we really wanted to hear what you want to say about that one.
Berks County, that's Reading.
I gotta say though, can we talk about that? Like 60 some people got canned from the RNC yesterday.
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah, it's huge.
They canceled a bunch of vendors' contracts, and I'll tell you, the thing that made me the happiest. I don't know if Laura's still watching this show, but she came out and said, anybody that tried today, yesterday, she said this after the show, anybody who tries to meddle with this election, we're coming at you with all legal prosecutorial things that the law will allow. So hopefully they get some lawyers up there and get ready to fight this steal that they know is going to happen.
But see, I saw that yesterday. And, well, and I put something out. I was like, well, you know what? Okay. I just leave it like that. I'll just watch. I don't want to. I ain't even going to jump on it. I just watch. I ain't going to do that. Sorry. Here's another one.
Hi, my name is Cindy. I just have a question. Nobody's talking about this, but is it possible that there is a no party candidate running a 2024 campaign that could or might be with a group that would outvote both parties and take the presidency? I mean, the vote in Minnesota, they didn't vote for anybody that was on the vote or on the ballot, and neither did they vote for it in Maine. So what is that saying? Because nobody's talking about this. I got a sense that there's somebody that's going to come out of the woodwork and just have so many votes that it will outdo the current people running. Thank you. We love your show. Bye.
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. I know where she's going with that because, and actually this started, I think it started with Rashida Tlaib telling the people up there in Michigan not to vote for Biden, you know, to vote uncommitted.
Uncommitted, right.
And
Minnesota did the same thing.
Yeah. And
both, but that was the Muslim vote.
It's the Muslims, yes.
Right. Right. And Maine also did the same thing, but these are northern states though. This is, you know, but
the same people are gonna vote for Joe Biden. Don't kid yourself.
I don't know. And the reason why I say I don't know if they're gonna vote for Biden is because their Palestinian thing hasn't been taken care of. And then he's getting ready to get rid of TikTok. So I mean, I really don't. Well, the only way that he's going to get votes is the keyboard. I don't think that people are going to go to the polls to vote for him. I really don't.
I don't think
he's going to get out before the convention, but I don't think people are going to vote for him.
There may be the question from the caller is a little bit skewed because what the media has done is they've led you to believe that there's a whole bunch of people out there that don't want either candidate. And that's just not the case. There's a whole lot of people that out there that don't want Biden. But go look at anything Trump does. There's thousands of people everywhere he goes. I mean, there's a lot of people that want Trump. And there's not a lot of people. Biden, think of how bad Biden is, how stupid you would have to be to vote. Well, stupid's not a fair word. Think how out of it you have to be to vote for that for your country. He's let in however many million of people into the country, and he's persecuting us. You have to have an ID for this, an ID for that, a license for this, a license for that. And these people are just coming over the border. People see that.
Yeah.
Here's the thing though. If you look at how the Democrats frame it, they're framing it's a fight for democracy. They're doing a lesser of two evils approach where they're not saying like, oh, this is great. Cause their policies are falling flat. People buy groceries. They know. But it's all Trump, Satan. Trump's going to blow up the country. Trump's going to start World War III. Trump's a racist, bigot, sexist, homophobe. So they're not. They're just running the anti-Trump campaign. They're not running the pro-Biden campaign. But kind of an offshoot of that question, too. I don't think any of us are going to see a actual third-party candidate other than play spoiler in our life.
You know what? I'm going to make your jaws drop. Trump created a third party.
It is.
Trump created a third party in 2016. It just has, it just, and he has a name, MAGA. You know, I mean, the third party has been created. It just hasn't been legally it doesn't have your usual bylaws and all that stuff and everything. But a third party's already been created, and it already has sucked in independents and Democrats. So, I mean, you have a third party, and it won in 2016. A third party literally won in 2016.
I think what you have is a hostile takeover.
Right.
Is what we've done. And that's why I didn't have any good expectations whatsoever about the RNC. And if I can see the RNC inching toward doing what they're supposed to do, as opposed to what they've been doing, that's a good sign. And that's another strike against, you know, another hostile takeover win.
You say a hostile takeover of what?
The Democrat, the Republican Party.
But when I say that the third party, because you have Democrats and independents that won't join.
Some, that's true.
But they will join Trump, but they won't join the GOP.
That's a great point. That's a great point. And with his victory speech on Super Tuesday, he invited everybody to come. I watched it and I was impressed with that, man. He's like, you people are welcome to come over here. All we want to do is make our country great again. That's pretty hard to turn away from if you care about the country.
Right.
Well, and Trump's a developer and he's a businessman and he understands our entire political system is constructed for two parties.
That's right.
And if you, it's like when he develops a building, he doesn't go out and like, let me go find new dirt and put down a new building. He takes over a property. He renovates it. You know, that's, it's not like Trump Tower. He tore everything to the ground and let's start from scratch. Right. And that's what I think he looked at what Ross Perot tried to do. Perot had a lot of Republican points. I mean, if you made Perot declare a
candidate, he did. You're right.
He would have been a Republican. Perot tried to do third party. Trump saw there's no path to that. So when he went to run, he said, I'm just going to take over the Republican Party, which he's done.
Do you see that the disaster that Ross Perot was? Bill Clinton won the presidency with 40-some% of the vote.
Yep.
I wouldn't call Ross a disaster.
No, that was a disaster. The Clinton administration years were a disaster.
Right.
I mean, it was a necessary disaster because
he's not saying Ross Perot was a disaster. He's saying Clinton was a disaster.
Yeah.
You know, I got to say,
and though, I voted for him, Jay.
I got to say though, if the Republican wins, are we any better off? We're just screwed in different ways.
Oh, yeah. That was, you know, one of the things Ross Perot did that I thought killed him was it ended up being true. I don't know if you remember that, but at the end of the campaign, Ross Perot froze his campaign because he said George H.W. Bush was coming after him.
Right.
And I laughed at that. And now I look back on it and go, this CIA dude did do this.
He did. Yep. Yes. Yep.
He said that they were looking into his daughter or they were threatening his daughter and stuff. And a whole lot of people felt for him at that time. And then he came back.
And
he brought that
admiral, man.
What?
Why am I here?
Why am I here? SNL did a skit on that one. What?
highlight moments with the Ross Perot era.
But he came back. And how many percentage, what percentage of the presidential election did he get?
I don't know.
I'd have to look it up. I think it was pretty significant.
I know I was sitting there and I was going
15.
I think I want to say 19, but give me a sec.
Because if it was 19 and he came back, that's something. Okay, you left and you came back and you still got 19% of the American vote. That's kind of big.
Now, yeah. Larry, let me tell you, you're going to hear this sucking sound, sucking everything down into Mexico.
Yeah.
92, he got just under 19%.
Man, that man. Oh my God.
I wanted to make sure I didn't miss if something happened. That's why I voted for him. I'm like, you can feel it.
I mean, there was nothing like him before. He was a likable billionaire. And
he was a hero too.
Oh my God.
He was a hero. I'll tell you what, I know two guys that were in the warehouse in Saudi Arabia when the Scud missile hit it during Desert Storm. Mm. And
I remember that.
They were both tore up. A unit from my area took the majority of casualties in that. And Ross Perot took these two guys, and probably more than that, and provided advanced medical help for them personally. He came to their bedroom in their hospital room personally and ended up knowing them for the rest of his life. And that's stuff nobody knows. You know, nobody said he didn't come out and do a press conference.
Right.
He also helped with the Iran hostages.
Ross Perot, to me, the businessman aspect was what made that such a powerful movement. And when you look at the government, and it is the least efficient distributor of income or money, or like the worst, if you want to have something get done the least effectively and most expensive, have the government do it. And if you look now, you know, I think one of the many pending collapses is just the economic collapse. And we just funnel trillions of dollars into the government that get used so ineffectively to actually solve problems in America. And it was funny, after Ross Perot, I'm like, oh, let's get a businessman in there to just increase efficiency. And then I really, for the first time, saw the deep state and what that was. And I'm like, holy cow, this is really a thing. Our government's really this corrupt.
And it's not just the government, it's the propaganda industry too.
Right.
The press. I mean, if you think about it, this is supposed to be this country that's economically outstanding and all good and everything. We've got soup lines in America.
Right.
There's 47 million people on EBT cards. That's soup lines. It's just hidden soup lines.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that too, because I was thinking about these illegal immigrants yesterday, and it just hit me that it's not just that they're importing voters, and they'll have the argument, oh, they can't vote. And we've talked about how, well, no, but they get the electoral college votes, but you're importing people who are on public assistance and on government assistance, and corporations will pay very poorly, as it shows in these jobs reports. All these jobs are part-time jobs that aren't paid very well. And so you're benefiting the corporations and any politician who is going to support giving more lifetime assistance to people. And so it's actually a brilliant strategy by the Democrats. And it's not even that they want them to vote for it. It's let's get all these people that need the government to survive and bring more. Because they will never vote to not support those people.
And here's what happens when you don't have the best and brightest in Washington, D.C. The Democrats think what Jason just said. That's right. What they think their plan is. They're bringing these votes. That's not the plan. This is a CCP plan, folks. Mm-hmm. Think of everything that's coming together at the same time. You've got 8 million people, 8 million non-white people coming into the country. Military age males. You've got, they already use their trial balloon. Pittsburgh is the trial balloon. They do stuff in Pittsburgh to see if it'll work. You have Pittsburgh eliminating their police force at night. Think about that. You've got all these people coming in here that don't have a nickel. And guess whose mouth the food's coming from that these immigrants are getting? Our poor, American poor.
Yep. Not only that, is that the food, you know, y'all were talking, Jay, you were talking about the price earlier, and Hutch, you just brought up the food. I posted this on my account this morning. I was like, this is why people are going to vote against Joe Biden.
Food will do it in
November.
Have skyrocketed 25% since 2019, outpacing overall inflation.
Since we have been living for the last four years, with these high prices.
Let me tell you a true story. On Sunday, I cooked a pot roast for my family.
Uh-oh.
2 pound chuck roast. 2 pounds chuck 40 roast. Bucks. If you take that 2 pounds and grind it up, that's 2 pounds of ground chuck, two pounds of hamburger. $16.
Yep.
I've never paid $16 for a roast.
Right.
Well, and it's amazing too that Democrats don't make it a bigger deal, because I know, you're right. Inflation right. is the largest transfer of wealth I've seen since the 2008 crash. And here's the game, folks. You're a rich person, you own a stock or a house or a property or a business. You're a working class person, you get paid a salary. Working class person, they flood the market with all this money. The rich people's assets go up in value. Their stock's worth more. Their house is worth more. But you as a working class person, your food just costs more. So you have less money. Gas costs more. Everything costs you more. You can afford to buy less. But the rich people who own assets instead of just pay money to live, they're loving this because their stuff just keeps going up in value.
They're going to love it when these criminals start coming to their house. Yeah. I'm serious. I mean, that's what I mean by the best and the brightest. Right. Most people don't think this stuff through.
Right.
You know,
And I mean, long term, it's a bad scenario bringing in all these people, make them dependent on your government, because then they're just going to demand more and more from your government. And it's like the government can't even afford what they're doing now. So what are they going to do in the people?
Where do you see how these people drive?
Right.
They're already killing people on the road.
But I mean, you're already seeing immigrants complaining about, oh, these rooms aren't so nice. Oh, this food isn't that good. I need more assistance. And all these people came in with the understanding that the federal government's going to give me money. And that only leads down a path of, I want more money. These people aren't coming in saying, I just want an opportunity to try to make something of myself. These guys are coming in going, where do I go for the most free stuff? It's such a stupid idea.
Here's for many of you. And actually what I'm trying to do, I'm really trying to piss you off about the food. I ain't hiding it. And I hope that you share it with other people, but I am trying to, because many of us are cooks, but we take care of our family. And as men, to take care of our family, we have to provide for our family. Now,
everybody out there got that? All you fellas got that? All right.
Are you men? You're supposed to take care of your family, and you're supposed to provide for them and make sure that they get. So when you see these prices, you should be very disturbed that when trying to take care of your family, the government is making it so that you. Yeah, left coast. Yep, that makes sense. Okay. All right, man.
Well, consumers are feeling the pinch when it comes to the cost of food. Overall inflation is certainly easing, or slowing, if you will.
Oh,
but new Labor Department data shows that the amount being spent on eating has hit a 30-year high. Restaurants and food company executives blame rising labor and production costs. So joining me now with more on this is Jesse Newman. She is a food reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Jesse, good to see you. So according to the USDA, consumers spent more than 11% of their disposable income on food in 2022. That is the highest since 1991. So I want you to explain what that means, because we're not just talking about your grocery bill. We're talking about all spending on food.
So this is really a metric that's about the share of our disposable personal income, which USDA tracks, and which recently was at essentially a 31-year high. And this is, food, the share of our personal income that we have spent on food has really been broadly declining for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And then in 2022, the latest, the date that we have available the latest available data for, we really saw a spike, and that was largely driven by prices of food away from home. So at restaurants, but effectively between grocery and restaurants, we are spending more of our budget on food than we have in 30 years.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed out the fact that the price or the amount of the percentage of our income that we're spending on food, our disposable income, has been steadily going down. Actually, in this country, our food's pretty cheap. But
yeah, whatever.
Inflation's bad, but not that bad, guys.
Yeah, yeah, right. We know it's
getting better. They just announced 3.2% on top of all the other.
And what do we do? You know, the thing about the food, I've said this for a long time. It's so arrogant that we burn our food. That's what ethanol is.
Yes.
We burn our food, and Egyptians can't afford corn. And then they have the Arab Spring comes because of that. 35% of their income they spent on food in Egypt during Arab Spring. Something like that. I could be off a little bit, but it's substantial.
In the history of mankind, not enough food has ruined more empires than any.
Yeah.
And we've been really blessed with a lot of natural resources, natural safety, because Canada and Mexico aren't that bad, so we're hard to invade. And we have had plenty of food. So... Yeah. And it's funny because food isn't factored into the inflation numbers they report. But anybody that goes to the grocery store is like, ooh.
And I'll tell you, food is a heck of a weapon. You hear the NFSC come in here talking about Mao Zedong and 70 million killed of his own people. That was from starvation, folks.
Yep.
Aldi is opening 800 grocery stores in the next 5 years. I didn't really know too much about Aldi until maybe less than a year ago. And when their prices are cheaper than any other supermarket, I'm like, is this stuff good?
That's what got me. I went in there and I was like, I never heard of this kind of beans.
Yes.
Where does this come from? Product of New Jersey. No,
I was like, is this stuff good?
And you gotta rent the shopping cart.
You rent the cart, there's no bags, so you grab a box. Here's the thing with Aldi, and John and I don't go there much. We just went there the first time. There's some good stuff there, and there's some bad stuff there. Like we got this cut up chicken breast that we put on salads, it was delicious. The cheese was pretty good, but you'll get something from Aldi. You'll be like, not getting that there again. It's kind of like a restaurant. You know how there's like dishes at certain restaurants that you're like, oh, I ain't touching that. That was horrible. Yeah, that's Aldi. And you're not used to seeing that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and you see it on TikTok. People show you how to what's it? Budget. They show you how to budget with TikTok recipes, meals from Aldi. You know, you go in there and you get your shredded chicken and some mayonnaise and some wraps. And next thing you know, and some lettuce all under $20. Next thing you know, you got chicken wraps for the next 3 or 4 days. It's like, dang. But yeah, Aldi, a lot of these major stores are hiking these prices up.
I'm glad that I grew up the way I did, man. I'm telling you.
Me too. I am too.
I could live.
Yeah.
I don't need that much money. But you give me a piece of bread, I'll break that piece of bread up, pour some cream corn over it.
I didn't even need cream corn. I'll take four pieces of bread. Yes, y'all, I did this. And it wasn't name brand bread. It was store bread. I mean, it had the store bread on it, but it was the softest thing that you ever tasted. I take the ridges off, take all four pieces and just ball it into a ball and just sit there. And
you're like an apple.
A jam sandwich.
Oh,
take
yeah.
A piece of bread, jam them together.
Oh, my God. And bologna? Fried bologna? Are you serious?
I'll tell you what's good, and this is going to freak people out. A bologna sandwich with ketchup. It's like eating a ghetto hot dog.
Really?
Good stuff. But then again, I've eaten ketchup sandwiches too.
Yeah, I was going to say, who hasn't had ketchup sandwiches? Or
and the best water that you will ever have in your life is not from a river, is not from a spring. It's from a water hose.
Right, got that little metallic tang to it.
And it's the coldest water that you ever have, too.
It's always good. It's always good when you're playing with matches, to play with matches around a water hose, because then you can just...
Right. You're handy.
Oh, my God, man. Life was so great.
I can't imagine what my kids, my grown kids, would do if their kids did the stuff we did. We were up on the roof.
Yeah.
Climbing out of windows.
Yes.
We were doing stuff that you could have died. Yes. Running and playing baseball in the street on a hill. On a hill.
Yep. Pause. You can go.
Car. Yep.
You can go. All right, let's go. I was playing football with my cousins. They lived on a hill. I don't know how we did it. It was a hill. It was a large hill, but there was a touchdown up the hill, the goal line. There was a touchdown down at the bottom of the hill. And we played a football game that way. But there was one day that we went out there and my cousin threw the ball. And it was going out of bounds, but I knew I had it. I jumped up in the air and I caught it. But when I came down, I was this close of hitting the fire hydrant with both my knees.
Oh.
And I hurried up and went like this and jumped. I went back to the quarterback. You son of a... He didn't see it because there was a car down there. So he didn't see it. All I knew, I could have tore my knees up if they would have hit. And I just... hear him look down and wow, you know,
we used to play that. We play running bases or either baseball right on the street on a hill. And our big thing was we only have one ball. So if we lose this ball, the game's over.
Right.
So the guy on the downhill side, if he missed it, everybody broke out running after the ball before it got to the sewer. And we had this thing, this bamboo thing with claws on the end. If it did go down the sewer, we could go down in there and snatch the ball out. Mm-hmm. But then you had to let it dry for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Think of the ingenuity of that.
Oh, and look, my cousins were big into the Baltimore Oriole baseball. Listen to it on the thing. I listened to it, but I really didn't play it as much early in my career. I played in Little League, but I didn't play early. So when I went up to Baltimore, I would be with my cousins for the summer. And my cousin was like, do you know how to switch it? Nope. Where are you going to learn? So, and they would make me bat from both sides. And that's how I learned to switch it from either side of the plate. And you learn how to pitch to your cousins. I used to strike out the third oldest. And then I found that there was a system to do it, to strike him out. I don't know if he's watching right now, but I would throw the first one high. No, I would throw the first one real fast, hard, right down the middle. Froom, swing and a miss. Second one I would throw up here because I knew he wanted this one so bad, he would swing at this one. So then he goes like this, swing two. The third one always I would throw low, real low, because first he's mad because he missed the first one. He's frustrated because the other one was up around his eyes. So I knew that the third one was going to be at the bottom that he was going to swing and miss. I had him all the time. But again, those were the days. Those were the sweet days that we miss when we were kids. And you go out at noon, you don't come in until about 8 or 9 o'clock at night. I mean, you have to go to the bathroom and whatnot. And you go and get your water from the hose, you know. But for the most part, we had fun. And, you know, your parents, they did their work and whatnot. But still, you stayed out of your parents' way because the kids.
They tell you, what are you doing in the house? Get out of here.
Right. Exactly. Don't you have friends? Go play.
Yeah. Most of the time, if you were in the house and they did ask you that, it's because you were pissed off because something happened outside.
Right.
You know, you were angry about how something went down. And then you go back outside because your parents, why are you doing this? I go back outside. So then you scuff your
fine.
Go outside all man. Yeah, all man. You go back outside. And then you just sit and watch everybody else have fun. And then you get back into it. So, yeah. But, I mean, the vehicles we had, big wheels.
Yeah.
The green machine.
Remember those ones that you turned? They had like big wheels with handles on them.
Oh, yeah.
I forget what they called them.
One of them was the green machine.
There was green, yeah.
Yeah. We had a big wheel derby.
Did you really? We, for some reason, we graduated to the jumper cliffs. You know, they man-made.
Yeah, that was after Evel Knievel came out.
Yeah. Right. Oh, Evel Knievel.
I broke my arm trying to be him.
Or do you just remember when you could go out exploring and just see how far you could go in a day in your mm-hmm. town? Get lost, go up somebody's house, like, hey, I'm trying to find my way home.
Yeah.
And, like, that was normal.
On the downside, every single bike I ever had got stolen.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, whether it was locked or not.
Well, you know, like what Jay said, you try to go into the farthest that you can go, and you think that you're exploring places that people have never been in before, places that have been there for 20 or 30 years ahead of your time that nobody ever got. Man, look at this. Wait a minute. Was that my dad call me? Yes, sir. I didn't call you. All right, bet. All right. But we got to get ready to go. We hope that we took some of y'all down memory lane.
That was fun.
Just want to remind people that, you know, House of Cards, Wayne, of course, those at the top get away and others go to jail. That's their game. House of Cards. Yeah, that's right. House of Cards. I'm late on it. Look at all these comments. Holy crap. Look at this.
Which one's that, Rumble?
No. Twitter and Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
And Terry causing issues again. And,
God love Terry.
Taco Tuesday. That's right. Happy Taco Tuesday, everybody. Okay, tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to have somebody. Hey, I don't know yet. But tomorrow's our hump day. We're almost finished this week. I got a new front door. My last thoughts. I've been in this house for about 2 years now. I hated the front two doors that we had. They remind me of church doors for some reason. I mean, like deep country, those heavy doors, heavy white doors, that those batarangs that would hurt a batarang. Okay. So and I'm so happy now because those doors didn't have any windows or anything. So that foyer was always dark. And now I have light coming through the top. And I'm so happy. I'm seeing y'all picture. I'm so happy. I'm like, oh, my God, look at this. But thank you all for tuning in. We're here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday between 12 and 1:30. I put up little clips after the show. And if you need us for anything, just let us know. Just call the number 800-895-5725, 800-895-5725. We will try to get your voicemail message. Carl, let some other people call in sometime too.
I like Carl.
I know.
Eaglebrookchurch.com, Carl. That's where you'll be donating.
$1,000 Robinson. Okay. You go, then Hutch, and then we're out of here.
All right. Two thoughts. Well, folks, Hutch Wayne, great show. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Make sure to share this content. First, watching this Hur trial, it just reminds me, never forget your government's corrupt and hates you as a citizen. They are corrupt. They protect their own, and they hate American citizens. We're cattle to them. Second thought, the Fannie Willis judgment should come down this week. Probably near the end of the week. That's going to be an interesting one because if there's any justice, she gets disbarred and kicked off the case, and then who knows what happens. So it could be a fun end of the week.
Over you know what? Real quick, before you go to Hutch, I don't know if she's going to get kicked off. She just qualified to run again. So I don't know whether y'all saw that, but she just qualified to run again for her seat with all the stuff that's happening. She just qualified, which is crazy. Sorry about that.
What she did is she committed perjury. Like, that's right. the big one on top of all the corruption for how things started. And perjury for a DA, it should be a don't pass go, don't collect $200. Right. It's just a disqualifying offense. But we'll see.
Another detail in that situation that's unfolding is she corroborated with Liz Cheney and the January 6th committee, passing videos back and forth. That's always great.
And Kamala, she went to the White House.
And Taco Tuesday sucks if you're in L.A. Taco Bell is closing all dining rooms in Oakland, rather, California, due to crime. Will offer cashless drive-through service only.
Cashless.
Arriba, arriba.
Arriba, arriba, arriba.